to the Six Sad Culture podcast. Once again, I'm joined by Danny, but no friend Chad. He's actually just in here, but he has class right now for his college, so he had to go. But me and Dan are here. What's going on, bro?
Not much, you, bro.
Well, I'm good and bad. I mean, obviously, the Azuri was a disappointing week for us. Going into it, I felt pretty confident, to be honest. Like, after winning the Euros, I don't know if you felt the same way, Dan, but I felt kind of like this, like, not invincibility, but I felt like, oh, we're definitely going to qualify for the World Cup. We won the Euros, so there should be no problem, you know what I mean? Like, Switzerland, we had that game against Bulgaria where we didn't play too good. Both Switzerland games and then this one. But I thought, you know, we should be able to win, no problem. I knew Switzerland would be tough, but I'm like, Northern Ireland, come on, at least 4-5-0. Like, come on, we won the Euros. It shouldn't even be a question. And that's not what happened. I can't remember the last time Italy played an actual good game. You can say against Belgium in the Nations League, but do you count that really as a game? I don't, personally. I don't really care about that game. So I don't think Belgium cared either. Lukaku didn't play. Like, Hazard didn't play. That game really doesn't mean anything to me. I think the last good game Italy actually played was against Belgium in the Euros. I thought they played pretty good that game. They played as a team. They moved the ball well against a tough team. Belgium was, I think they were the favorites at the time to win the Euros at the time of that game.
Yeah, they were. They were. As of that moment, heading into that game, they were favorites to win it.
Exactly, and I was very impressed.
Them in France. I can't remember if they were. No, they weren't.
In France.
They were eliminated. So, yeah, Belgium were the clear favorite.
Yeah, that's why I was like, to play that good against a team like that, I was impressed. That's the game where Spino went down, which is unfortunate, but the boys still got the job done. So, yeah, after seeing that, I'm like, well, we played good. And then since then, like, Spain, we got dominated, let's be honest. I don't want to say we got lucky because I don't like saying that too much in soccer. Cause you can get lucky, but at the same time, I thought we defended well against Spain. It's not like, well, they dominated the game, but we defended well as well. I don't think it was like, oh, they missed two open nets and, like, lucky in that way. But I thought we did well to hang on against Spain, but we did not play well at all. And then in the final, I don't think we played well either, to be honest, until maybe towards the end of the game and extra time, I thought we did pretty well against England. But for most part of the game, I don't think we played too well. And then since then, these qualifiers, friendlies, like, I don't know. I haven't been impressed by the Azzurri at all.
Me neither. Since the finals, I really haven't been impressed with the Azzurri at all. They just look okay. Maybe the first international break after the finals, you could say maybe they were kind of still hungover. But these recent games from even the Nations League, I really don't take that really seriously. But the qualifiers, like the last two qualifying games, even the ones before, like they really didn't look too good. They looked slow at times. The attack wasn't there. Our midfield play was inconsistent. We were giving up too many chances on the defensive side, more than we usually do, especially against teams like Bulgaria. They had a few chances, even yesterday too, against Northern Ireland. Really haven't been impressed with them. And as of right now, it's not looking good. We're heading into the playoffs, so the draw is coming up soon. But yeah, they need to improve big time, and maybe there's some players that might not have to be called up from for these games in March, and there's some players like we could expect or I want to see called up and just change it up and bring some sparks to the team.
Yeah, definitely. And let's just get right into the games quick. Switzerland, we'll have to start there. First game, heading into it, I felt, to be honest, since the Euros, like I told you, I felt, even though we played bad last international break, I'm like, I think we'll win this game. Like, I never really, like, in my head, I never really processed that, oh, we might not qualify for World Cup. We might have to go through a playoff again. I'm like, that's not going to happen. Like, come on, it's a new team, and we're not Ventura, you know what I mean? Like, I never, until the final whistle blew for the Northern Ireland game, I really didn't believe that we weren't going to get through. I was so confident, even after we drew Switzerland. So, going into the game, I was pretty calm. I was like, yeah, I think we'll do it. But then as the game's going on, you're seeing, like, you're getting flashbacks. Like, wow, Italy can't score. Italy can't score, like the Sweden game. And, it kept going on the game, kept missing chances. We're taking a lot of stupid shots that were forced. Defensively, I thought Bonucci did really good that game, to be honest. I thought he had a good game against, to me, he was the best player on the pitch that game against Switzerland. The midfield was decent. Locatelli, to be honest, I thought he was maybe the worst player on the pitch that game. Adams yeah. kept slipping. He was, seemed off. I really didn't like how Locatelli played that game. But Ardi, I didn't think he was awful. Like he's been worse. Like he had a couple of chances, but it's also hard to blame him. Like he's not really a striker, and I got to put more of the blame on Mancini there, to be honest. I would prefer Scamacca. I know he's not proven, and people say, oh, you need experience in games like this. Well, we have experience on the field, and we can't score, so why not try youth? You know, like put Scamacca and give him a chance.
Yeah, someone yeah. hungry, yeah.
Like that's why. And Scamacca offers a lot of things I feel like our attack don't have. Height, which we clearly don't have in the attack. When was the last time Italy scored a header? I honestly can't remember. I'm trying to think right now. Like from like a forward, I can't remember. So
yeah,
he brings you height. He brings you youth. He'll press. Like everyone knows how Scamacca plays, and he's an aggressive player. He'll press the back line. He'll do what he has to do. Finishing his shot is like a rocket, Scamacca, especially from long range. Like he can really hit it, and this explosiveness. Like I thought everything we were missing, Scamacca has, and I was like, I thought he'd be, you know, a good choice to put in, especially with, you know, Immobile's not there. Like we don't really have many options up there. Belotti's not performing, so why not just put him in? Who cares? Like if he does bad, I don't think Mancini would get any backlash. Because who else are you gonna put in there? I think Scamacca at striker is a better option than Berardi. Like. But Ardi's yeah. a natural winger. He's not a guy who's going to battle with center backs for balls and stuff. We needed something like that. We were trying to play too, too cute in a way. Like, trying to go a little quick pass and find a shot and finesse and run around. I'm like, no, put someone who can bang with center backs who can, you know, push them back. Scamacca's a big guy. He may be young, but he's a really big guy. So, yeah, I thought Scamacca was the better option. And our attack just looked terrible. And Senior just kept trying to force the cut in, as we know. Like, when it works, it looks great, and when it doesn't look great at all. Chiesa just seemed off to me that game. When Chiesa has an off game, I feel like our whole attack is just useless. And then we didn't have a striker who can bail us out. You know, even the best strikers, like Lukaku, for example. For Belgium, he can have a really bad game, but he always scores, even at the end of the game, when he's playing poorly. And you know why he does it? Because he's a big guy. He can fight off a couple defenders and maybe find a loose ball in the box and put it in. And we don't have that in Italy. Our defense, it's hard to really judge the defense because we had the ball for, you know, a big majority of the match, especially towards the end. But just, I don't know. The first goal for us when we tied it up, great ball from Insigne, nice curler. Di Lorenzo got at the end of it. Very good goal. I don't know why they checked VAR. Was it for an offside?
They were checking for a goalie offside and a potential foul on the goalie.
Yeah. I wasn't really. But, I knew they counted. To me, I didn't see anything wrong with that.
To be honest, I when I saw they were checking the VAR, and I was like, okay, I guess they're gonna check for offsides because of the way the play was. That's how it is. Napoli did it; they pulled it off. But also too, like they were checking for that, and then they checked to see if it was a foul on Sommer from Di Lorenzo, but it was vice versa. So. I think if Italy didn't get that goal, they would have gotten a penalty because Sommer just absolutely clobbered Di Lorenzo. Like, it was like a Mike Tyson right hook on Di Lorenzo. But beautiful goal, beautiful finish. And, yeah.
Yeah, big goal. We needed that one. Especially when your forwards can't score a goal. Italy reminded me so much of Roma. Like, I saw Roma this year. We have more goals from other positions than our actual forwards. It's kind of funny. So, yeah, Italy fought Spina's like Roma fought Spina's. Literally the exact same thing. We depend so much on him to create most of our chances. Like 90% of anything we do is from Spina. So, yeah, you can see the big difference there. The penalty, I think that's the big the elephant in the room. Well, I guess we'll get into that soon. I have like a separate discussion for that ready. But, Dan, what do you think about the overall match? Who impressed you? Who didn't impress you?
I wasn't really impressed with... Acerbi to begin with. I think he's a good player to have on the team just in case of an injury, but he shouldn't be starting. I would rather see Bastoni. I know he's young, but just get that experience out of the way. And who else would you rather have him beside than Bonucci, say if Chiellini's not there? So I thought Bastoni should have been starting not Switzerland, but against Northern Ireland, I expected Bastoni to start. And I think just we need a new left back. Emerson has been very poor since maybe even the finals of the Euros. He's a good backup to have just in case we need a sub, but he can't be starting. And I wouldn't mind seeing maybe like a Calabria there. Because if you put Calabria Until Spina gets back, then there will be a debate with who, right, like people see Di Lorenzo or Calabria on the right side, but I would rather see Calabria play on the left side. I feel like he brings more of a spark than Di Lorenzo, than Emerson. And I wasn't really impressed with Locatelli. I thought he was absolutely terrible. He kept slipping. He kept overplaying balls. He was turning the ball over a lot. The attack, invisible. Bolotti, I don't know what's happened to him. I thought this guy was going to help Italy when Immobile wasn't there. But goes to show that maybe we do need a player like Immobile. We do need like a big striker, a figure like there. So I wasn't really impressed with the way we played as a whole. We had a lot of chances that we could have scored, and we had a lot of opportunities that we wasted. If the right back of any team is the only scorer, the goal scorer during the break, then there's something going on with the attack. We just looked flat. And just to top it all off, Jorginho's penalty, I don't know what the hell was that.
Let's get right into it.
I expected him to place it, do his little like hop and then place it into a corner, but tried to go high and missed. So I don't know what's up with him. I think it's just all the penalties he's missed in the last few games. It's catching up to him. It's just a mentality thing, because this Jorginho, he's one of the coolest players on the pitch at times, and just the last few games with the Azzurri, and even I think with Chelsea too, he missed one, if I could recall, or if he missed one. But hopefully he gets out of it. He's such a key figure for us. There's a lot of people blaming him, saying, oh, he should be on the national team, blah 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 blah. That's just stupidity right there. I'm sorry to say that. If you guys don't think he should be on the national team, then please name me a better midfield fielder than him when you need him. He does so much of the small things. So you need a guy like Jorginho. Hopefully he can just snap out of it, put those penalties aside, and help lead the Azzurri to the World Cup when we need them the most in March.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, the penalty, my whole thing with the penalty is, I know it's easy to say, I'm not the one taking it, but I always thought about it like this. You can always go too high, but you can never go too low. When you aim higher up in the penalty, you know, there's always a chance you can miss hit it and you miss the whole net. At least when you go low, unless you go wide, which you can miss, obviously, if you go wide. But when you go low, there's a good chance you're going to get on target. And, you know, if the goalie saves it, like, whatever, like, it happens. You know, if it's a good shot and he makes a nice save, what can you do? It happens. But if you miss the whole net, man, the ball never had a chance of going in the first place. Like, you got to hit the target, especially when it's, like, a big penalty like that. Like, I understand we're 2-3 nothing up, and then whatever, you want to score a nice pen, you try to go top corner, whatever. But that was, like, we need to score that and at least get on target for a rebound or something, you know? And, yeah, for him to sky like that, I don't know if it's the Ballon d'Or talk and getting in his head, and he's just thinking about, oh, I need to score a nice penalty here to really make myself the favorite and get another important goal for Italy or something like that. But he hasn't been the same Jorginho at the penalty spot. I remember just always being confident whenever he takes a pen, but even in the two games when he missed, I was pretty confident. But now this one, before he took it, I just didn't think he was going to score. I don't know why. Something in me was telling me he's going to miss. And then when he missed, I'm like, man, like, we got to get a new pen taker. Like, and maybe not forever. I'm not saying to take him out forever, but I'm saying at least for now, just let him forget about
just
it.
Just until he gets confidence back. Like,
yeah, you need to get it back. Just take him off for a bit. Take the pressure off. Maybe if, like, we're up by a good margin, we're playing, like, a friendly sometime in the future, give it to him again, let him get back into the groove of it to taking pens. But for now, in big games, to be honest, this may be crazy. I'd give it to Bonucci. I really trust him.
Even say if he's on the pitch, even, like, Immobile, too. He scores a lot for Lazio. He scores some big ones for Lazio. Even him, too. He could be a candidate for that.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't slip and fall while he's taking it, then, yeah. We all saw him in the Castle Napoli game a couple of 2 years ago. He slipped and fell and took a pen.
Two Serie A's ago.
So he slipped and fell, and yeah, but he's a pretty good pen taker. Takes a lot of them. You know, almost all his goals are pens, anyways. But yeah, I feel like maybe him, Bonucci, like someone like Bonucci, I really trust. I'm really against, like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm very against giving your penalty spot taker to a center back or anything like that. Because, come on, if you're a striker, can't score a penalty, then what's wrong if you, like, in my opinion, your striker should always be the pen taker. If you can finish, if you need them to finish a big chance, they should be able to take a penalty. But in this case, I think Bonucci's a really good penalty taker. We saw it in the Euros. And he took some nice ones, like top corner. Was it against Spain with top corner or England? He took some really good
sets. England. England. Chipped it like top corner.
Yeah. And that takes, like, for a final to take, like, he's very confident. He has experience. I don't think the moment would faze him at all or affect his penalty. So, yeah, I thought Bonucci was going to take it, to be honest, because I knew Jorginho was having a bad run of penalties. So when I saw him step up, I was kind of nervous for him. So I can only imagine what he was thinking. So, yeah, I think Bonucci would be a really good candidate to take penalties going forward. But it all depends on who's on the pitch. Now going ahead to Northern Ireland, then. Another disappointing one. To me, the whole talk going to the game in my head was, I know we're going to win. Just how much are we going to win by? Can we have to score more than Switzerland, who's playing Bulgaria? So going into the game, I was like, yeah, we'll win. Just please score 3-4 goals and what or not, it should be done. And that's how it happened. We couldn't even win the game. We played well. I mean, I don't want to say we played bad, because we didn't play bad. Just we couldn't find the net again. And I know it's not easy when a team's sitting back like Northern Ireland did. I don't think they did know that we needed to win that game by quite a bit. So they sat back and really frustrated the Azzurri. Didn't give us too many chances inside the box. We had a couple. Di Lorenzo almost scored one in the first half. It was like a half volley. And the goalie made a really nice save. So credit to him. It was a good shot. Just a really nice save by the goalie. And I feel like we struggled to make that final pass in the final third. Yeah. And my whole thing with this team is, I know we talked about in our group chat we have, I feel like Italy have too much of the same player, like Locatelli, Tonali, Jorginho, maybe even Verratti, but he's a pretty creative player, so I wouldn't put him in that category. But I was a ball winner, but he can also score now, especially in Serie A. I think he's leading with assists or something, so he's doing much better creating this year. But we have three guys right there who all are the same type of player. Like they do the same thing. The Registas, they stay back, and they win the ball back, and they distribute from there.
Italy needs to change that up for the playoffs. Yeah, no, I agree. And there's a lot of times, too, where Barella was making a forward run, and that ball, it was either from Bonucci or Turbi. I think two of them were from Bonucci, and he just overhit it. Barella couldn't get to there. It's just he was offside a lot. Like, it was just you don't need that from a guy like Barella. That's a forward run. Barella, he's the type of guy, when the forwards are getting there, he's the type that can slip into that space and pop in a goal in here. We don't need him making that forward run all the time. And I just feel like Barella, I think he should be starting all the games. Jorginho, and it's just that final midfielder, like either Verratti.
For me, it's either Verratti or Pellegrini between them two.
Yeah, those are one of them. That's our midfield. And then when you have guys like, say, Locatelli, Tonali coming in, Cristante, if he's still on the team. Like those are just luxuries to have when Italy are up 1-0. Italy are trying to hold on. Italy are trying to balance out the tempo of the game. Like, just stuff like that. And I just feel like we were just missing that big figure in the box, like a striker, like a someone who can win balls, like a Scamacca, exactly. Say, like an Immobile. Like, you can't really, like, yeah, a lot of people are saying, oh, Insigne had a poor game, blah, blah, blah. Insigne's not a center forward. And there was a lot of times in the game where Barardi would be that center forward. Chiesa was center forward. Like, no one knew their position. It's like the forwards were switching all the time on the fly. They were switching. It was just weird. And
we need a striker.
We need a striker, yeah. And if they did want to play a false nine, which I'm a huge fan of the idea, but you need a big guy that can hold up the play. Like,
for me, it would be Zaniolo.
Even if Zaniolo was healthy and he was there, I would have had him as a candidate to play a false nine, to be that center forward. Because he's tall, he's fast, and he's strong on the ball. And he can pull defenders out and open up space for Insigne, Chiesa, or Barardi, whoever would be playing at the time. And I feel like that's what Italy needs. And the way Italy plays, we try to overlap a lot on the right side, and I feel like we need to do that from the left a lot of times too. When there's a lot of times where Barardi had the ball and Di Lorenzo would make an overlapping run. Insigne and Chiesa would have the ball, Emerson would just stay back. So I don't know what Mancini's telling these guys, or if like the players don't know what to do. They're just questioning. Because there's a lot of times where Di Lorenzo would push up and then Emerson would stay back, but the attack would come from the left, and Di Lorenzo was always late to come back, and that's why you saw a lot of times where the back post was open. It's because of there's the miscommunication between the team and the coaching. And so right there, you could tell there's problems there, because there was a lot of times Di Lorenzo left the back post open, but that's because he was trying to tuck in, or he was late coming back because of the forward run he made that didn't go through him. So it's just a lot of confusion, and that's what I feel like Italy needs to work on, and it starts from the top, and it helps out with the players in the starting 11.
Yeah, and going back to the false nine, like, I feel like what Mancini tried recreating was what Man City did last year with De Bruyne, that the false nine, that's what they're using him as. And, well, they're really good in the Champions League, Man City, and it was working for them. But De Bruyne's not Insigne or Chiesa, or, but he's not a small guy. He's a big guy, De Bruyne. And I feel like if we put Zaniolo in that role, who, in my opinion, for Roma, I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, but I say a lot of stuff like Nico needs to be in the middle. He needs to be in the center. That's where you get the best Zaniolo. If we saw before his injury, his run against Juve, he ran the whole field. Where was he? He was in the middle. The other run against Juve, where he got the assist to Perotti, where was he? He was in the middle. Against Inter, solo run, where was he? He was in the middle. If you look at every best moment Zaniolo has had, it's from when he's in the middle, because he's such a big body. It's very, like, you saw him playing at Napoli, Dan, even though he's on a wing that game, he's very hard to get the ball off of. You need two or three guys to get it from him. And if you have that presence in the middle, and let's say you have Insigne on the left, they're going to need two guys to get the ball off Zaniolo. What does that mean? Insigne's wide open. Or Chiesa's wide open.
Insigne's open. And then Insigne's got the quality to pick out that pass. Say if Zaniolo finds him, Insigne's got the quality to pick out Chiesa, who could be making a back post run. And exactly. It's just stuff like that.
You need your false nine to drag in one or two guys. And Zaniolo, if you just put one guy on him, unless it's Koulibaly or like a world-class center back, Zaniolo is most likely going to eat them alive. Like, he's quick and tall. Like, he's not easy to get the ball off of. I could be biased, but like, I watched this kid, like, I've seen every minute of his career. Like, against Mario Rui, against Napoli, like, yeah, I'm sure he saw, he murdered him that first half.
And then they made the adjustment.
And they like Koulibaly coming and help, and that's where the whole game changed. You need one or two guys to stop Zaniolo. If you have that in the middle, and you have Chiesa and Insigne for all that space, my God, we're going to rip teams apart. We need someone like that in the middle.
I feel like that's why, I feel like with the games in March, I feel like that benefits us a little bit, because hopefully, knock on wood, with the guys we have now and a few guys coming back, say hopefully Verratti, hopefully Moise Keane, hopefully Zaniolo, hopefully Pellegrini, like hopefully like they stay healthy, those guys will impact games. And don't be surprised too, if, like, call me crazy, I wouldn't be surprised if Mancini even calls up a guy like, say, Lorenzo Lucca, who's a tall player that can finish and that causes problems for the defense, because he's a tall figure and he's strong in the box. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't call up a guy like Belotti, if they don't call up Raspadori. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Bernardeschi doesn't get there and a guy like Politano gets there. Like, they
need some physicality.
Yeah, we need some physicality and we need height. Like, I'm a big fan of Raspadori, but I don't think he's ready for the Azzurri yet, the senior team yet. I would keep him on the under-21s, and I would keep Scamacca because he's a presence. I would keep Moise Keane because that guy can score. I would call up Immobile because this break, I think you need a guy, you need to just call him up, even though he hasn't really been the Immobile he is with Lazio. I think you need to call him up, and I wouldn't be surprised if Lorenzo Lucca gets called up because this kid can play. This, even though he's a Serie B striker, he's got seven or eight goals, and he already has two goals in two qualifying games with the Italian under-21s, and he's a big presence, and he causes a lot of problems, and he's quick too. He's quick for his size, and hopefully by the time we play those games, Spinazzola is back too, so we can be solidified on the wing backs.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I guess it's push North Ireland game to the side. We already covered that. Yeah, just what to expect in the playoff round. Like, yeah, what we've been talking about here. I think Italy could be a different team. Right? Spina will be back, I think, in 3 weeks for Roma. So he'll be back by then. He'll have a lot of games in his belt, under his belt, and he'll be back fit and he'll be used to playing again. So we'll have Spina back, who I think, I know I sound biased, I keep talking about Roma players, but I feel like Spina was the best player at the Euros, in my opinion, for Italy. I think he made the biggest difference for the team. I think him, Chiesa, Donnarumma, Bonucci, Chiellini, those are some of the best guys on the team in the Euros.
And we'll have Chiellini back too, hopefully.
Yeah, Chiellini back too, hopefully. If he's healthy, that guy, you know, he gets a lot of small injuries, like left, right, and center. Right now, to be honest, okay, Pellegrini actually is hurt. Like, he might not even play this weekend for Roma. I think Nico could have played for the national team if he wanted to. Like, I don't think he was that hurt. Like, he's practicing right now, fine. I saw a video of him running, like, he's fine. But I just feel like Mourinho didn't want to force him. Because, you know, he's back from, like, 2 years out. You know, it's not easy to get right back into it. I'm sure if anyone else had, like, big injuries, you know, like, it's not easy to get right back into playing against professionals every night, plus international break. So I think by then Nico will be fine to play, like, more often international break. He'll be, like, what, 7 months in? So, yeah, he'll be good. Get Spina back. Pellegrini, who, like we said, I think Pellegrini or Verratti need to start one of them. Like, it's a must. You need, like, you saw Verratti in the Euros. I think he led the Euros in key passes for a great chance.
I missed the first two games.
Yeah, see? So he's someone who can create and make the final ball. Pellegrini, we saw for Roma, is having a fantastic year. He's kind of resembling Wesley Schneider for Mourinho when he was at Inter. He's kind of playing the same roles, putting up similar numbers. He's having a great year. Guys like that would make a difference in the final third. So I think they'd really help. And then, yeah, Spina, like, this guy for Italy is incredibly important. In the Euros, I think this guy had the ball almost half the game. Like, what would he do? He'd win the ball back, play Spina on the left. He'd dance a bit. He'd overlap Insigne. Insigne would go more to a centered role. Spina would go to the left. He'd dance, and he'd either find Insigne or play a ball into the middle.
I feel like that connection, too, helps a lot.
It's very
like
good. Helped Insigne a lot. A lot. Takes a lot of pressure off him.
And I feel like that's why he's not the Insigne a lot of people want him to be. It's because of the left side. Because in Napoli, if you guys watch Napoli, a lot of times when Insigne has the ball, he cuts in, but Mario Rulli will make a run and Insigne will even help, or he'll have like a player make a run. It seems like with the Azzurri, when Spinazzola's not there, Emerson's not doing that role. He's just staying behind Insigne, and Insigne would have to just pass it back, make small passes instead of doing the stuff he usually does with Napoli, when Spinazzola plays. So that left side too, that also helps a lot with Spina coming back.
Yeah, and I feel bad for Emerson because I don't think he's a bad player at all. I just think when you go from Spina and watching him, who, you know, to be honest, if he didn't get hurt, he probably would have been player of the tournament. As a left back, I think he had 2 or 3 man of the match like awards as a left back. That's incredible. I think he's well on his way to be player of the tournament. If you go from that to Emerson, who, you know, he's a fast player, but he doesn't really have the ability to beat guys like Spina does. And Spina's much faster as well.
And he really hasn't played much since.
Yeah, for Chelsea
at all.
Besides
the Euros.
He played 3 games.
After the Euros, he went alone to Lyon, and he's been playing, but still, it's hard for him too. And he's more of a typical year-old type of left back, not the attacking, like your left back that stays close, that helps in the defense. Not really.
Yeah,
he's
a good backup to have for Italy.
Yeah,
he's
very good
off the bench, whatever. As a starter, you know, Spina just brings so much to the team, both defensively and offensively. Because the defense, we saw what he did for Italy. Against Belgium, he saved us with that goal line clearance. They're tracked back. So with that speed and height, he can win headers. He can do a lot of things, Spina, for the team. And he's a big difference maker. So to have him back for March, which he will be back, is incredible. For Roma, it's incredible, too, because I think it's going to really help guys like Tammy Abraham a lot. And Nico, having a guy like Spina back, we really need him. And Pellegrini, Verratti, maybe a potential Zaniolo as a false nine, where I think for Roma, he'll be starting to play in the middle now because we're switching to 2 strikers up top, and I might see Nico at cam with Vertut and Pellegrini behind, so it could be a different Zaniolo we're going to see by March. So things are looking up for Azzurri in the future, and that's what I really expect in the playoffs. I think we'll see a much better team. Hopefully we get the job done. I'm a little worried about Donnarumma, though. That's one thing, because he hasn't been playing much, and we saw 2 mistakes now that he's made that cost us the game.
I was just
going
to say something that I would do this in a heartbeat. I do not care, but because this will help us. I would call up Gianluigi Buffon for the playoffs, and if they do qualify for the World Cup, I would call him up for the World Cup. You need someone like that in the locker room. Like, when Italy won the Euros, they had De Rossi in the locker room, who's been to these tournaments, who's won the World Cup. He gets the best out of players. He's just a guy you would love to have. And I feel like Buffon, you need that in the locker room. You need a Buffon-type figure in the locker room. And to be honest, I would call him over Meret. I would call him over maybe Daniel, too. Like, so I would do that in a heartbeat. I would call Gianluigi Buffon in a heartbeat.
And you know what? Even if Donnarumma gets hurt and he actually does have to play, I wouldn't mind, to be honest. He's been doing good for Parma. He's still got that ability.
It's always Buffon. He ages like fine wine. He's still got a class. Class is permanent.
Exactly. And although he did make some big mistakes for Juve last year, I believe it was, yeah. He made some mistakes still. I feel like Buffon is just a good guy to have in the locker room. And I'd call up Buffon down the room and maybe someone else in the back just like
maybe
for insurance.
Maybe Carano.
I trust him a good amount. He's a little short for a goalie, but I still trust him. He's very athletic. And if Donnarumma were to get hurt, I wouldn't mind him going in net. Just someone like that, I think, yeah, a good point then. I think Buffon would be a very good guy to bring up.
And it's also, too, you'll have guys say like Chiellini, Bonucci, Buffon, say a Buffon in the locker room. Those guys who have played in big games, like, which I don't think, besides the finals, not many have. So Buffon, Bonucci, and Chiellini in the locker room, it's going to help these guys, like, regain their focus. And I know we just won the Euros. I understand that. But it seems like Italy, they're still in the party stages, it seems like. They're not playing up to their par. And I guess it's because of the key guys out, Chiellini not there. Yeah. Who knows? But I feel like if you call up a Buffon, he doesn't even have to play. He can even be the backup. Just him on the bench, mentoring Donnarumma, helping these players, like, regain focus, just remember the task at hand. It's going to help, but we'll see what Mancini does. And I would honestly hope they call up Buffon because, you can't really trust, like say if the knock on wood, Donnarumma gets hurt, you can't really trust Barrett because he hasn't played much with Napoli since Ospina's taken over. Cragno, he's a good goalie, but I don't think he's national team ready. And I feel like Buffon, he's done it before. He's won the World Cup. He's played the Champions League finals. He's Juve's most capped player, if I'm not wrong. So
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
It's Buffon. And it's always Buffon.
Yeah, I think you got to call him up. And you know what? You can't tell me that, let's say, against Northern Ireland and Switzerland, we had Spina healthy, Chiellini, Verratti or Pellegrini, and maybe Zaniolo or Kienler. You can't tell me if we had those guys, we wouldn't have won against Switzerland or Northern Ireland. I think we would have won both games, to be honest, with that team. Especially just Chiellini and Spina alone. Those two, if we had them, for sure we would have won. 100%. 100%. Guarantee it. It's those two alone. Because Spina, even though he's a left back, after Chiesa, he's probably our most important attacker to this team.
He's a key contributor.
And for Roma, we're on our knees waiting for this guy. This guy, without him, like last year, Fonseca Mancini did the same thing as Spina. We just dumped the ball to this guy, and we treat him like, I don't know, like Wayne Gretzky or something, for you guys to watch hockey. Just let him take on everyone and dangle everyone. Like, it's incredible. That's what Spina does, and I don't know how this guy has the stamina to keep doing it all game. He just takes on two, three, four guys, and then there's always someone open in the box. Like, Chiesa's goal against Austria, that was incredible. Danced around those guys, found Chiesa wide open in the back post, and beautiful finish from Chiesa. Like, stuff like that. I feel like our forwards aren't getting open enough in the box, and they're not getting open because no one's drawing one or two guys to them. Because
that's the problem.
Insigne,
yeah.
Like, he's not a big guy. You don't need to put two guys on Insigne. Berardi, you know, you don't really have to put two guys on him. Chiesa, maybe, but still, he's not gonna out physical you. If you put a big guy on him, you couldn't, you know, throw him off a bit.
He's not messy.
He's not gonna get through. Five guys.
Good player, but he's not like Messi draws like five guys around him. So
Chiesa on the counter, he's lethal. Yeah, but dangerous. When there's people in the box, you know, Chiesa's not a big guy. He's not really gonna do much. And if you got someone like Spina, who I think is like 6 foot, and he's probably the fastest player on our team. Like, I don't, you guys probably play FIFA. You look there. That doesn't really mean, I don't know what his pace is in FIFA, but this guy is by far our quickest player on the national team, and he's 6 foot. Imagine that guy running at you, Spina. Imagine him sprinting at you full speed. Like, you're gonna draw two, three guys on you, and someone's gonna be open. So, yeah, I think we had Chiellini and Spina on this team, we would have won 100% of both games. That's not even a question to me. So, you know, I'm not too worried about the playoffs. Obviously, I'm a little worried because, you know, Sweden, we all, in the back of our head, me and Dan were there together when that happened. So, like, maybe it's better we don't watch it this time together, the playoffs then. But we all kind of remember, so we're all worried, obviously. We're not 100% confident. But, you know, if we have a fully healthy team, I don't think we're going to be easy to take down at all for Portugal, Sweden, whoever we play. I'm not too worried about that.
I don't know if we have to see, but I'm pretty sure Italy might not have to play Portugal.
Wow.
They might not. Even better. I could be wrong because of the way the potting works, but we'll see when it comes out. Honestly, like I'm just confused as much as many people are the way the seeding works. I know there's three brackets, two semifinals, a finals, winner gets in. So we'll see how the seeding works, and hopefully we can get in. Because as of right now, I'm not really too confident. I know it's probably because of the recent performances we've had. Hopefully in March I'm more confident, but as of right now I'm just hoping that we just find a way to get in. That's all that we can ask for. Find a way.
Yeah, exactly. Well said, Dan. That wraps up our Italy talk. For you Canadians out there, obviously, you know, we're from Toronto, so Canada, Mexico tonight, big game. Looking forward to that one as well. And you know, maybe in the future, if Canada keep doing this, we might maybe add a little Canada podcast to the side. Who knows? We'll see. The Canadian national team. And I mean, Dan both enjoys talking about them as well. So we'll see in the future. But as of right now, stick to the Azzurri. You know, March can be a really big time for us. Hopefully we can pull it off. Looking ahead to this weekend, Serie A. We got some big games. Lazio, Juve, Fiorentina, Milan, Napoli, Inter. We got a really, really good match day coming up right after the international break. I know, Dan, you'll probably be excited for that one, Inter-Napoli, a really big game for you guys. That can really show you if you think you win Scudetto or not. It's a big test.
I don't think there's been one weekend in the last 4 weeks I haven't been stressed. So
yeah. It's
good that I continue it.
Yeah, this one might raise it to a new level. It's going to be a really big game, especially for Inter, because you know, they really need the 3 points. They need you guys to draw points. So a win for them would be huge. A tie for you guys, I don't think it'll be the end of the world. You're away from home. I don't think it'll be terrible if you drew that game. I obviously want to win, though. But
yeah,
a draw wouldn't be the end of the world for the Napoli. For Inter, I think a draw would be pretty bad for them, to be honest. They need this win. And Milan Fiorentina, you know, Vlahovic, let's see what he can do against Milan. And, you know, they might even try and sign Vlahovic. Who knows? Because Milan, I think they'll need a striker soon. Giroud and Zlatan aren't the youngest guys, we'll say. So we'll see. And Lazio, Juve, you know, this Juve team is very beatable. And Lazio, they're either amazing or absolute garbage. So we'll see which Lazio shows up. And yeah, looking forward to a good weekend of Serie A games. Anything else you want to say, Dan?
Nope, I'm good. We covered it all. Just wishing the best of luck to Canada tonight against Mexico. It's going to be a tough game.
Definitely.
I think the boys can do it. It's going to be, we're playing in the winter wonderland, or the frozen tundra, they call it. So the snow, it's not like not like typical weather for soccer, but for a nice football game, it is. But hopefully the boys can do it, and hopefully we can talk about maybe one day Italy versus Canada in the World Cup.
And who knows, we might even see Zamboni at halftime in the Canada game tonight.
maybe some hockey players will come in.
Yeah, for a halftime show, a little hockey game going on there. So yeah, it's going to be a big game for Canada tonight. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to interact with us on social media, it is at Six Side Culture on both Instagram and Twitter. We'll be back next week, some more Serie A recap, and yeah, these will be disappointing us, but hopefully they're better in March. Ciao.
Ciao, guys.